we know that he is truly worthy to be praised. So you all join in with us and help us to sing this little song to the glory and honor of God. Whatever you want, whatever you need, ask God in faith, he'll give it to you.
Tomorrow, because you hope tomorrow.
Yes, Lord,
how much is this morning, Lord? one touch from you, Lord, and everything will be all right. Lord, bless us, only you can bless this morning. Save us, only you can save. Lord God, heal us, only you can heal. Knowing that you got all power in your hand, Lord. Let your will be done. And everything will be all right. Have mercy, Lord. Bless us, only you can bless, Lord. Save us, only you can save. Lord God, you know us all, name by name and house by house. Lord God, you know our uprising and you know our downfall. Have your way in your life, Lord. Have your way, Lord. Let your will be done and everything will be all right. Lord God, we'll be so careful to give you all the honor, the glory, and the praise. It is in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Thank you, Lord.
and join us right now for the doxology. Yes.
Life. I know he's doing it. He can do it in your life. I don't He'll make us ruler over many. We must get the principle right. Amen. So as we pray for this prayer, pray for your neighbor at the same time. That's all we touch and agree. There's power in agreement. Amen. 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 Let's pray. Oh Lord our God, how excellent is your name in all the earth. Father God, you're such a wonderful God. That's why we come to you. Father God, you're so great. You're so awesome. You're omnipotent. You're all powerful. You're a strong redeemer and deliverer. Father God, your grace and mercy you give us new, afresh, each and every day. Father God, if we had 10,000 tongues, we could not thank you enough for all the things you've done in our life. And what has amazed us, oh Father God, that you're so mindful of us that even when we fall short, instead of withdrawing your hand from us, you bless us all the more. We thank you for giving us a mind to know from which hill our help coming from. Because we know we fall short on every account. Father God, when we promise you that we'll go right, we ain't going left. We tell you we'll keep going, we stop. But Father God, you hold our hand, you keep us, you encourage us, you make a way out of no way. You're just a good God. That's why we want to acknowledge how great thou art before we inquire of you anything. Right now, somebody needs for one thing and somebody needs it for another. Father God, but you know each and every one of us. You know the amount of hairs on each of our head. Father God, we are your designer's original. When you made us, Father God, you do made a mold. And we thank you for that. We thank you, Father God, that you kept us safe and far, this far by faith.
Yes.
You provided for us. You kept us in the midst of a noisome pestilence. Father God, right now, devil came in with us like a flood, but you raised a standard against him. And we thank you for that. We thank you, Father God, that we have not lost our mind in the midst of all this confusion and foolishness. Father God, we have stuck close to your word, and you say, in the last days, men will become lovers of themselves. So, Father God, we thank you that we are looking to the hills from whence coming our help. We are pressing to the ward, the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. We thank you for that. So right now, Father God, you know what we're lacking at. You know what our needs are. We ask, oh, Father God, that you look beyond our faults and meet us at our need. Create us a clean heart, renewing us the right spirit. And then when you've done that, oh, Father God, we ask you for a fresh anointing. One filling us up from the sole of our feet to the crowns of our head. Father God, we know that we're no good, but Father God, it's because of the blood of your son, Jesus. That cleanses us from all unrighteousness. That when you look at us, you see the blood of your son. We thank you. We thank you for what you've done for us. Father God, somebody's body needed healing. You are a balm in Gilead. Father God, by your stripes, we are healed. So Father God, heal the infirm body right now. Mend the broken heart right now. Heal this withdrawn spirit and contrite spirit right now. In the name of Jesus. Father God, we know you can do it. Father God, heal us of what we don't even know what we're suffering from. We know that you can do it. Father God, someone needs resources, a financial blessing, a way made out of no way. Be Jehovah Jireh, the Lord our provider. Make a way out of no way. Satan wants to make us think, oh Father God, that you've forgotten about us. But Father God, we know that you said you would never leave us nor forsake us. Father God, all we have is your word to stand on. Father God, we ask you to loose it in heaven so we can loose it on earth, and bind it in heaven so we can bind it in earth. I know you heard our prayer before we even come to you to pray today. Father God, but we know we have to contend with the Prince of Persia. Our enemy, Father God, bind him right now in the name of Jesus. I plead the blood of Jesus against him and every foul and malignant spirit that raises up against your people. Father God, we want to be what you created us to be. We want to operate within our purpose. So we ask, oh Father God, if we don't know our purpose, and sometimes we get or lose our way, we ask you, God, to lead us back into all truth right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you, God, that you hear our prayer. As we stand corporately, Father God, we ask you to continue to bless New Jerusalem. Father God, enlarge its territory. Father God, meet our corporate needs right now. Every gift is needed. margin. Send it right now. The harvest is many, but the workers are few. So we ask, oh God, that you just do what you say you can do. You said, upon this rock you will build your church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So Father God, bless New Jerusalem and everyone that's concerned and contact and in New Jerusalem right now in the name of Jesus. If you do this real simple thing for us, Father God, oh, we'll be so careful to give you all the honor, the praise, and glory. We'll thank you, Father God, even in the midst, even if the storm doesn't stop and the rain don't stop falling, the lightning don't stop flashing, we know that you still will make a way out of the way. So continue to bless and keep us. This is our prayer. Give us the spirit of thankfulness, and we'll thank you anyhow. And all who love the Lord say amen. I'll go if I have to go by myself. That's the mindset, you know. Would you actually go if you had to go by yourself? And they tell your pastor ain't coming, y'all still going? Doing the work unto the Lord, right? Amen. God is just such a good God. You ought to just go anyway. Amen. 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 We thank God for his many, many blessings. He has kept us from Sunday to Sunday once again. And we ought to thank God for that. We're able to come into the house of the Lord and lift holy hands and praise God, because he's worthy to be praised. Amen. 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 God, let's govern yourself accordingly. Not that many announcements, but we want to thank you for being as faithful as you have been being in Jerusalem. Just continue to be faithful, and God's still in control. All right? He's a faithful God. He honors faith, and faith honors him. Amen? We got Bible study that we will have at 6 p.m. on Tuesday. Make sure you show yourself up for that. The numbers for a Bible study is in the back of your programs, and we will be having it. We don't have an association this week. And we'll be having Bible study. Amen. Prayer meeting and Bible study. Amen. Remember, February, we come to the end of the first month already. And February starts our observance of Black History Month. Amen.
Amen.
And make sure every Sunday we'll have something to say about Black history. Every month is Black history, but since they're going to give us an extra month, that's all right. We'll show enough take it. We show enough take it. Amen. And be acknowledging, since y'all want us to put it in your faith, we sure gonna let you know we black and we proud. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So we're gonna do that, and we ask God to give us messages and studies that remind us of our rich ancestry, how God has brought us and kept us. Amen?
Amen.
Remember to continue to pray for each other. God is still in the blessing business. Amen. Amen. I was telling as we went into back and to the back, I appreciate all of you for being here. We was able to have our pre-prayer before we had service today, and that's just a good thing to always go into worship prayer before we go into the prayer worship. Amen. And he was able to do that. But I was telling them that if New Jerusalem prayer start praying for you, one, two things are going to happen. You either going to get right or get well. Amen.
Amen.
And we know that works. Amen. I want to testify, just going to testify real quick, that this morning Deaconess Furlong didn't think she was going to be there, was going to be able to make it, but she thought she was going to rush to urgent care. But Deacon Furlong, the reason I'm saying that, and I'm trying to share their stuff, but they're doing well. But they're here.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. But why did Pastor tell y'all here? Because she said that, she gave me that information, and everybody saw that blast text I sent to her, and I told her I didn't think they were going to make it. And my grandson and James said, hey, they out in the parking lot. That lets me know. Well, I tell you, New Jerusalem got a gift of prayer.
Amen.
It's a praying church. And when they start praying, stuff happens. Stuff happens. Amen. Amen. I'm a living witness. So just please just keep praying for Pastor. Amen. Amen. God is still in the blessing business, Deacon Furley. He's still in the blessing business. It's going to be all right. It might look like it's not going to be all right, but it's going to be all right. Amen.
Amen.
Mother Thompson's here today. She's feeling better.
Amen.
Amen. It's good to see you, Sister Bernie. It's good to see each and every one of you. It's good to see you, Deacon Cook and Deacon Johnson. I remember your names. Amen. Amen. Good to see you in the circle. Good to have you in the place. Amen. God's a good God. Okay? So good to see all of God's children. Okay? I think I've covered all the announcements that need to be covered today. And now it is offering time. The Bible says, bring you all the tithes in the storehouse, so there's meat in my house, and proving our child of God. And see that I open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you cannot receive. It's biblical why we bring the tithe into the church. Amen. All we are required to do as servants in the church is be good stewards of what God's people is bringing in. Amen. And all you got to do as God's people is just do what God asks you to do. Amen. It's not for the preacher, not for any. It's just for God. Okay. So we're going to pray that God bless you. for whatever you're about to bring to him, bring it to him with a good attitude, because he wants a cheerful giver. Yeah. Amen. If you don't give it cheerfully, it'll help our bottom line, but won't do you any good. Amen. Amen. Let us bless his offering in advance. Amen. Oh, Father God, right now in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for all things great, all things about life, health, and strength. Right now, Father God, we come to bless this offering that your people are about to give unto you. Father God, bless the ones that are going to bring it in the sanctuary. Bless the ones that are giving it to the cash app, giving it to the text and tithe on the online platform. Give bless those that are mailing it in. We thank you for each and every one that continues to be faithful in each and every way. We thank you, Father God, that you are blessing New Jerusalem. Continue the largest territory, Father God. We just want to do the right thing by you, Father God. So when we err, oh Father God, we ask that you would just continue to bless us and lead us in the paths of righteousness. Let this offering, oh Father God, be used for the betterment and upbuilding of your kingdom. And when giving days are over down here, save us a place. Anywhere in your kingdom will be just all right with us. And all who love the Lord say amen,
amen,
amen, and amen. Please do give it quiet with some music.
Thank you. Trying to think back, I'm pausing Mother Thomas, because
trying to make sure I see one of the choir members, one of the people around my bedroom when I was reading that scripture on that message this morning, talking about grace. God don't make no mistakes, you
know.
He never ceases to amaze me, sister. And you know, the more I walk with him, the more I'm convinced he's God.
Yes, sir.
He don't have to come through on anything I ask him.
All right.
Once he wake me up and I make it through the day all right, then I sit down and I ponder what I went through the day with and how I made it through the day. I said, oh, he been God.
Yes.
I don't understand. David said in his Psalms when he wrote, he said, a fool has said in his heart, there is no God. A fool has said that. Why? Because David said, I was young.
Yeah.
I'm old.
And now I'm old. And never have I seen the righteous forsaken.
Oh,
his seed begging bread. Help me preach it now.
Preach.
I read the scripture. Yeah, y'all trying to get me started. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Turning your Bibles with us to the Old Testament book of Exodus chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14. In your own quiet time, as I always encourage you, I would like to read you to read in your own quiet time all of Exodus chapter 14, verses 1 through 31.
Amen.
But I would like to shine a sermonic spotlight this morning on Exodus chapter 14, verses 26 through 31. Exodus 14, verses 26 through 31. Let's pray. Oh Lord, our God, I exalt your name in all the earth. Father God, we thank you once again for another time to stand and joyfully proclaim your word. Father God, we ask you right now for wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. We are unable, oh Father God, to understand this. We are unable to break this down, teach it, walk through your word without your Holy Spirit exhibiting this perfect preaching and teaching ministry right now in the name of Jesus. Father God, use me, inspire me, hide me behind the cross. I am the earthen vessel that you have poured the gift into. Allow me to expound upon your word and pour it out to your people as that which you want them to hear it. Father God, I am nothing, but in you and through you all things are possible. Bless your people right now. Draw back the draperies of misunderstanding. Make this word plain enough so that a child can understand it. And Father God, while you're doing all of that, Father God, bind Satan as he goes to and fro, trying to snatch the word of knowledge away from your people. Father God, we perish for lack of knowledge. So Father God, give us a word right now, a rhema word, tailor-made, fit for the circumstance and situation for which we are going through at this present time. And Father God, whatever's accomplished in this setting, whatever's accomplished, whatever you put forth to us, oh Father God, we want to thank you in advance for it. Speak, Lord, for your people heareth. Exodus chapter 14, commencing at the 26th verse. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, and upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to its strength. When the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea, and the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the hosts of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them, there remained not so much as one of them. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea. And the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. We know that God's word is already blessed. With your presence this morning, I'd like to present this sermonic presentation to you and with this topic, an Old Testament miracle, but a New Testament prophecy.
All right, now.
An Old Testament miracle, but a New Testament prophecy. You may take your seats in the presence of the Lord. The people of God have so much on their plate nowadays to go through and have to deal with. At every turn of every hour of every day, our faith is challenged and becomes weary. I don't care what kind of Christian you are or how close you are to God. As much as we have to go through personally and externally, guess what? Our faith becomes weary.
Amen.
I don't know, maybe you're one of those super Christians that you've been born saved and you've been in church all your life, but I know sometimes my faith becomes weary. Why does my faith become weary? My faith becomes weary because I'm in a fight. And my fight is constant. Because the Bible tells me that many are the afflictions of the righteous. But our God delivers us from them all. So as I listen to people that call me, our church family that call me during the week, and I conversate with them, and I listen to other people of faith, and I ask God, give me something to say to the people that will encourage them, to let them know, I don't care how much hell breaks loose in your life. I don't care if it looks like God is not going to come through. Let me let them know and prove to your people that you're still sitting on the throne. God gave me an Old Testament mirror. He said, son, take it to the Old Testament and tie it with the New Testament. He said, I'm the same God yesterday, today, and forever. I think I can say without fear of successful contradiction that the seminal, meaning the most important event in the Old Testament, is the Exodus.
All right.
It is hard to overstate the importance of the Red Sea experience. It is hard for us to have a proper interpretation of Scripture without large mentioning about what God did for his people at the Red Sea. God crossed them over on dry ground. So important is the Red Sea experience for the rest of the Bible. In the Gospel of Matthew chapter 2 and verse 15 revelates, Matthew writes, out of Egypt I called my son. That's Matthew's interpretation of Hosea chapter 11. Out of Egypt, out of bondage, I called my son. When Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration, walk through the Bible with me a little bit. Matthew chapter 17 and verse 2, they showed up with him, Elijah and Moses. Moses figuratively handed off the torch of redemption to Jesus. For what Moses is in the Old Testament, walk with Pastor, Jesus becomes in the New Testament. Moses, who is Israel's redemption, Jesus becomes our deliverer in the New Testament. Hebrews chapter 3 verses 1 through 6, Jesus is mentioned as one greater than Moses. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 29 says, by faith the people passed through the Red Sea on dry ground.
Yeah.
1 Corinthians chapter 10 says, Brother Tom says, our ancestors were all under the cloud. And they passed through the Red Sea. You cannot get a good understanding of what Jesus did until you understand what Moses did. God heard their prayers over 400 years of slavery in Egypt. And they cried day and night that God would send them a deliverer.
All right.
God let Moses be born. Look at God.
All right,
of Jochebed and Aaron. When Hebrews were having babies, and the Egyptian midwives were instructed by Pharaoh to drown them in the Nile River. The same waters that were supposed to drown Moses supported Moses. His mother saw that God's hand was on Moses. She fashioned a basket of bulrush and pitch. Can I go back to Sunday school?
Go ahead.
And floated it in the reeds of the Nile River. God arranged that Pharaoh's daughter will come down to the Nile River to take a bath. At the right moment, God moved that basket, and that baby started to cry. And when Pharaoh's daughter heard that cry, God had her exhibit compassion towards that baby, in spite of what her daddy wanted them to do. And God had Moses' sister Miriam stationed nearby. When Pharaoh's daughter had compassion on the child, Miriam shows up and said, "Do you want me to go and get a nurse for him? To nurse this baby for you?" Pharaoh's daughter gives Moses' sister leave to come back with a nurse. And she comes back with their own mother. And God had heard their cry. And by reason of their taskmasters, God has come down to deliver them. And God uses a small, weak thing like a baby to save us. Moses is born in Egypt, and he delivers his people. Jesus is born in Bethlehem, and he delivers his people from their sins. I'm in the book, y'all. Moses born to lead the people of God, he was a powerful deliverer. To grow him and prepare him for his calling, God sends Moses to the backside of the Midian desert. Moses, now can I hang out right there for a minute, Deacon Phillip?
Yes, sir.
Don't you question God when he said he has a calling on your life. And it seems like nobody else is paying attention to you. God got a way of isolating you. Let nobody pay attention to you. It does not matter. God will hook you up and prepare you for your calling at his given time. Can I get a witness in here?
Yeah.
Don't get in a hurry. I'm a living witness. Don't get in a hurry to get in the work for God, because you'll not have all your equipment. Your armor will not be fully suited on. You got to sometimes spend some time on the backside of the mountain. Now Moses spent all 40 years. Hello, somebody. 40 years. By then, they told me I was supposed to be a preacher, and I had to wait 40 years. I'm going to quit. You ain't let me preach nowhere. I ain't going to nobody. What? I quit. 40 years? What you say? God shows up in a bush that don't burn. God got a way of getting our attention when we think he's forgotten about us. The bush did not burn. He said, "I got a mission for you, Moses." He said, "I want you to go tell that Pharaoh, his stepdaddy, let my people go." Moses is now back in Pharaoh's palace. And Moses says to him, "God told me to tell you, let my people go." Pharaoh is not listening because Pharaoh thinks that he is God. Can I get a witness in here? So God sends 9 plagues. But the 10th plague, Pharaoh caused upon himself. That is the death of all the firstborn in the land. All will be put to death by a death angel. The only ones who will be spared are those who have the 3-fold blood mark over their doors. Today, every one of us, people of God, have that blood sprinkled over our lives. We are covered. No matter what comes your way and my way, we are covered, Andy. No matter what the devil accuses you of, no matter what sickness comes your way, no matter what trick he tries to take you down with, if you've been covered by the blood of Jesus, God promises to deliver us. He didn't just start delivering us. He's been delivering our ancestors from right back in Egypt. Why are you telling me this, Pastor? Because you need to know that when hell breaks loose in your life, and I don't care how bad it looks, I don't know what the statisticians say or what the naysayers say, I'm letting you know that there's a God that back then today, this is not a fairy tale I'm preaching. This real stuff. If you come by the blood, God said, I promise, I will deliver you. When we are in the midst of a fight, we need to remember to encourage ourselves.
Yes.
Say to yourself, I've been set free through the blood of the Lamb.
Yes.
No weapon, no harm, no power, no obstacle, nothing that stands in my presence or way will prevent God from delivering me. Allow the Holy Ghost to walk with us around the text this morning. When you think about Jesus in the Exodus story, the image of Jesus in the Exodus story, you got to think about what salvation is all about.
Yeah.
What were they getting out of? What was this deliverance from? What did Moses and God get them out of? God got them out of bondage.
Yeah.
Y'all with me? Yeah. Sin is bondage. There's no more basic a word in the Bible than the deliverance from bondage.
Yeah.
The word redemption, the Greek word, the inferno for redemption means to loose.
Yeah.
Can I get a witness here? To be released, not only did God have to get Israel out of Egypt, but he had to get Egypt out of Israel.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. Do I need to say it again?
Yeah.
Not only did he have to get Israel out of Egypt, but he had to take Egypt out of us.
Yeah.
Because when you stay in bondage for so long,
yeah,
you're delivered, but you still can't stink. You still can't sink like an Egyptian.
Right.
You talk like an Egyptian. You walk like an Egyptian. Smell like, act like an Egyptian. And many of us have been saved from our sins, but we are still in bondage.
Yeah.
Did y'all just hear me? We are saved, but we are still, most of us, many of us, are still in some type of bondage.
All right.
To our sin nature.
Yeah, well, well.
And for that reason, not only does God have to get us out of sin, but the Spirit of God has to really get in us, all of us. He's got to do it sometimes against our will.
Yeah.
Because brothers and sisters, we tell the truth this morning. We like our sin. Oh, y'all ain't got to answer me.
Yeah.
I'm coming down our alley today.
Well.
We enjoy it. I wish I had a witness on here because, listen, every sin I ever committed, I had a good time committing it.
Well.
I enjoyed it because it does not make sense to sin if you're not going to enjoy it when you're doing it. Y'all quiet. Wow.
Yeah.
I just want somebody to help you tell the truth. Brother says it's hard for us to get away from what we enjoy.
Yeah.
Even though we are saved, there's still some issues that we struggle with that God has got yet to deliver us from.
Yeah. Yeah.
It doesn't mean you're not saved. But at first you got to admit it, y'all. You got to face it so you can fix it.
Yeah.
If you think you're so good, you're going to fall. You got to realize that you got stuff in you. Yes, you're a Christian. The only thing different with us in the world is that we are forgiven.
Yeah.
What was the choir say? Grace? God's grace.
Yeah.
His grace?
Grace.
It's sufficient for me.
Yes.
If it were not for grace, I wouldn't be able to continue to get up and say, Lord, thank you.
Yes.
Because yesterday I was ready.
Mm-hmm.
You should turn your face away from me. But because of your grace,
Thank you, Lord.
How many Christians who can shout right now, Christians who are honest enough to admit that they need to be all the Christian they can be to walk away from some of the stuff the devil presents to us.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Can I get a witness in here?
Yeah.
Oh, y'all ain't hearing me.
Yeah.
We got to know how to walk away from some stuff the devil presents to them. That's why y'all, I want y'all to listen now. Any Christian sister called pastor to the house, I'm taking Deacon Frodo with me. Because don't you think, don't let that white cane fool you. Deacon Fredo can see everything that's going on. So if you try anything, Deacon Fredo can see it. He's going to make sure I don't get in trouble.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Let me testify for myself and four or five other people here. Yes, we know we're going to heaven. We know our name is written in the last book of life. But God is still working on us. I thank God we are a work in progress. God is still getting that old nature out of us. Because every once in a while, it raises its ugly head. And we say some stuff that we need to apologize for the next day. We do some things we have no business doing.
Yes.
Romans chapter 7, let me go to the book. I know that within me, that is Paul talking, that in my flesh.
Yes.
For to will is present with me. Yes. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Paul's talking about the struggle with sin. Paul teaches us about the real struggle with sin in Romans chapter 7 and verse 21. He said, Paul said, when I will do good, evil is always present.
Yeah.
Are y'all hearing me?
Yeah.
But I see another law in my members, it means my body. My spirit man wants to do what God wants me to do. But I have another law that says that my flesh submits to the law and to fleshly things.
Yeah.
And it brings me, Mother Thomas, into captivity. If I don't lean on the Lord, if I lean not to my own understanding, if I don't lean not to my own understanding and follow God's will, I will become captive again to my flesh.
Yeah.
Paul said, who shall? He said, oh wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Verse 25, Paul said, I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Sometimes we have to just come into church with our head down.
Yeah.
I don't know if you ever felt like that.
Yeah.
You come to church with your head down and just beg the Lord to have some mercy on us. Lord, please don't let me be found out. Lord, please look beyond my fault and see all my needs. And just like I enjoy myself in my sin, I'm enjoying myself in my salvation. Like the children of Israel, we have been delivered out of bondage. And just like I cried out when I was in bondage, I shout for my deliverance.
Yeah.
For the things I still struggle with.
Yes.
I feel sorry for you who sit through an entire worship service and remain pitifully unmoved. Church is just not about the literature you read and the reading, the Sunday school, the giving of the offering. It's not about coming to it's about coming to tell the truth.
Yes.
To God, I'm a sinner. Saved by grace.
Yes.
I'm enjoying blessings right now that I don't even deserve. Don't you tell me how to praise my God. God, look beyond all my faults. And met me at my knees.
Yes.
I hear you complaining about, oh, I got to go to that little piece of job I got. Well, let me help you out right here. It's better than no job at all. Because while you was complaining and murmuring like the children of Israel at the Red Sea, God had released them out of 400 years of bondage. Now they meet an obstacle.
Right.
Walls on the mountains on each side. Y'all ain't with me. The sea in front of them. Y'all ain't with me. And Pharaoh in pursuit of their back. And now they begin to complain to God. If God brought me this far, why would he leave me now? I'm thankful, Reverend Lyle, that God allowed me to graduate from that class of doubt. Because it may not look good. I don't care. But I'm like Shadrach, Deacon Johnson, Deacon Cook. I'm like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Oh, King, we are not slack on what we're saying to you. Because the God whom we serve is able to deliver. But if he don't, I'm still going to serve him.
Hallelujah.
God, I'm a sinner. That's why I'm here. I'm coming to let you know, I know without you, I can't do nothing. My very being, my very existence is wrapped up in you. Complaining. Did you even think about how many people don't have a job to go to in the morning?
My Lord.
Did you think? Did you realize? Did you not have to be concerned? Did you have to be concerned about a warm place to lay down last night?
Jesus.
It might be just one room. I don't care. But did you have to worry about being outside and getting the blanket?
All right.
Thank you, Lord.
Some people don't even know where they will sleep tonight.
All right.
But not only a place for them to cook their food, they're worried about having the food to cook. And here you can decide where you're going to go and eat today. I shouldn't have to remind people of God about this, but I guess I got God told me to say it. You can make a choice on where you're going to eat. Uh-huh. You stood in front of your closet. Open both doors. Not one door, but you got both doors. Because some of y'all got walk-in closets.
Yeah.
And had to decide what you was going to put on this morning.
Yeah.
But some people are in a homeless shelter.
Yeah.
They have a plastic bag that they carry everything around with them everywhere they go.
My Lord.
And here you sit in the presence of God.
Yes, sir.
Who's done everything for you. And some people cannot open their mouth.
Thank you, Lord.
When I was in my sins, I needed somebody to get me out of bondage. And Jesus became my kinsman redeemer.
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
Jesus took my place on the cross.
Yes.
Died for my sins.
Yes.
I have never been on a cross. I never had to observe the wrath of a mighty God falling on my shoulders. But Jesus observed the wrath of God in himself to get me out of sin. I know he had to observe the wrath of God, him being God himself. Can I get a witness to this? Because he said, Father, Father, why have you forsaken me?
Yes.
Salvation is about us getting out. It's about us getting out of bondage. But it's also about how we get out. In the first place, it's right here in the text. When they got to the Red Sea, God had been leading them. I'm almost out y'all way. Check this out. God had been leading them, Deeks.
Yeah.
Read the text when you get home. From verse 5, God had been leading them with a strong arm. An outstretched hand.
Yes.
And they come to what looks like an impossibility. For all intents and purposes, it's a dead end.
Yes.
At the dead end, there's no details.
Yes.
He got them out of bondage. Now they're at a dead end with no details. The Red Sea. Walls, mountains on each side. And Pharaoh's army is fast approaching.
Yeah.
And I want you to know, they're not coming to get prisoners. They come to come to take no prisoners.
Yeah.
There's nobody to help them. Mountains are on the right of them, valleys on the left of them. Pharaoh's army is in hot pursuit behind them, and the Red Sea is in front of them.
Yeah.
Just like being a sinner, there ain't no way out. You're on the way to hell. A priceless hell.
Yeah.
There's no way out to the left, there's no way out to the right. When you die, you will fear all of us. First, it's a man to be born, then it is for him to die. Then it is the judgment.
Yeah.
Ain't no way around it. I don't care about what they talk about. I'm going to be reincarnated. The devil's a lie. I am not being reincarnated to come back as a Maltese or a dog.
No.
I was created in the image of the Lord. Because at the beginning, the book, it tells me, said, let us create man.
Yeah.
And our image. I read nowhere in the text that God was a dog.
My Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Or bird.
Jesus.
Right.
Amen. Devil's a lie. Yeah. Donnie. God tells them,
and in the middle of a bad situation, he said, stand still.
Stand still.
Watch Pharaoh's army. Them you will see no more. Stand still and watch the salvation
of the Lord.
Remember now, I'm trying to teach y'all about salvation in the Old Testament and New Testament. They talk about, he told Moses, tell him, say, watch the salvation. Yeah. Had Jesus come yet?
No.
He was talking about salvation. Watch the salvation of the Lord. What God? They say, what God? Pharaoh's army is behind us. The Red Sea's in front of me. Mountains on the right, valleys on the left, and God, you telling us to stand still? Watch how God works. Holy Ghost, help me with this one. The cloud that was in front of them, Deacon Fertile, leading them.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I got some Bible readers, right?
Yeah.
Now God shifts and the cloud goes to the back.
Yeah.
But the mighty God we serve.
Yes, Lord. Yes.
The cloud now goes to behind them. And wow, the Bible says on the side of the cloud when the children of Israel were revelled was daylight.
Daylight.
On the side where the Egyptians were, where the enemy were, was dark. They was in the dark. Can I preach this thing here a little bit?
Yeah.
Woo! Here we go. This is how it works. God will put a cloud between you and your adversary.
Yes, yes.
God's got your back.
Yes.
God makes it dark for your adversary so that you are hidden in plain sight.
All right. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah. Oh, you got to be spiritual to get this. Somebody missed that. God will hide you in plain sight that you see, that they see you when they can't put their hands on you. Then the Bible said, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. They can see you. I know they can see me. Sister Mars, I know they can see me because they say they formed a weapon. If they can't see me, why they form a weapon? Then God goes in the text and tells Paul, he said, no weapon formed against you will prosper. He said, will be formed, but it will not prosper.
Yes.
Yes.
Otherwise, they wasting their time.
Yes, sir.
It will not be an amount to anything. Yes. Jerusalem, just help me shout right here.
Yes.
The word of God says, fret not yourself because of evildoers.
Wow.
Neither be envious against the workers of iniquity.
Yes.
Because they shall soon be cut off like grass.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
They shall wither like the green herb. The Bible says, the Lord is my life and my salvation. What you say? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?
Yeah.
When the wicked, even my enemies, my foe, came upon me to eat up my flesh.
Yes.
Just before they get to me, Reverend Life, God shifts the cloud to my back and they stumble and fall.
Yeah.
Anybody ever thought that you were going not, anybody ever told you that you were not going to make it?
Yeah.
But God stepped in right on time?
Because
God shifted the cloud.
All right.
Anybody predicted that you were never going to be able to amount to anything? But look where you are right now.
Amen.
You know why? God shifted the cloud.
Yes, he did.
Help me, somebody.
Yes,
God shifted the cloud. That was in front of you. God put it behind you so there was a thick of darkness surrounding your enemies.
Yes.
God got a way of setting encampments. And it says that when Israel was in a battle with Jehoshaphat, Jehoshaphat put the praise team in front. Watch me now. He put the praise team in front, and they went towards the enemy. But when they got there, the enemy was laid out dead. There was all the drunk dead. Because God got a way of taking your enemies out before you even enter the fight. Why? Because the battle is not yours. It's the Lord's. Pastor, explain the doctrine. Let me help you the doctrine. Also, in many fights that Israel was in, when Israel did not have to fight, you heard and you read the text, they didn't fight, but their enemies, deacons, were fighting each other. The darkness of the Lord upon the adversary will turn them on each other. Just before they get there, God shifts the cloud.
Yeah.
Anybody ever dug a ditch for you and you saw them falling at themselves?
Amen.
God shifted the cloud.
Yeah.
My Lord, my Anybody ever thought you were not going to make it, but God stepped in right on time? Because
uh-huh.
He's on time, God? Yes, He is.
Yeah.
You know why? Because He shifted the cloud.
Right.
Yeah. Anybody predicted that you were never going to be able to amount to anything? But look where you are right now. God shifted the cloud.
Yes,
God shifted the cloud that in front of you. God put it behind you so that there was a thick of darkness surrounding your enemies.
Yeah.
Pastor, how's God delivering me? I'm glad y'all asked that question. Glad you asked, because God is delivering us out of this bondage that we're in each and every day. Paul said, don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit?
Well.
He said that, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. He said, sacrifice your body. Every day we should be crucifying something in our flesh that's not in the word of God.
Yeah.
Y'all ain't hearing me.
Amen.
God will help us deliver, be delivered from the bondage that we are in.
Yeah.
How are they going to get delivered? His grace and His mercy.
Yes.
It's right in the text. He says, stand still. Just watch and see the salvation of the Lord. For these Egyptians you see today, watch me now, y'all. Look at what the scripture says. You will see them no more forever. Listen to the text. The text is not saying it just like you can read it. Not no more would I have been good enough for me. But God said, you will see them. He said, you will see them. Then He said, no more forever. Not no more forever would have been fine with me. I would prefer God just take them out. So I don't have to deal with them no more. Wipe them out. But God don't necessarily remove your enemies away out of your sight,
man.
He said you will see them no more forever. What this term translates into, it means that those clowns, they'll be here, but God allows them to stay there and watch you be delivered.
All right now.
I know I'm in the book, because David says, the Lord will prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. Hi, they're going to be watching you eat, and they're dead. No, God said, you're going to sit and watch them eat, and you're going to be able to touch them while they eat.
Well,
and you ain't going to get nothing to eat either. When you go home and read Psalms 109, that's some bad stuff in there.
Yes, it is.
David said, Lord, let my enemies become fatherless.
Yes, my God.
Let their children become orphans. Mm-hmm. Let them become widows.
Jesus.
Let them go hungry.
Mm-hmm.
Let them die a lonely death. David was mad, but he prayed that prayer.
My God.
They just stood still. Why? Because God wants them to know they can't touch what God has blessed. Y'all with me?
Yeah.
Here's where the grace comes in. They didn't do a thing. So grace comes in. They didn't do a thing. They just stood still. And you know why they didn't do a thing? Because they couldn't do a thing. Y'all with me?
Yeah.
And when you can't do nothing else,
that's
you're right. to take people. I live in James County all the time. I got to call James. He said, Pastor, he said, I left them drugs alone because guess what? I had to come to my mind thinking that I had enough was enough. Amen. That I couldn't do nothing no more. And when I came to know that I had enough, he said, then God freed me from that stuff. He was talking to me in the Bible.
That's what I'm talking about.
Y'all hear me? See, some people got too many options. You still got up. Some people have to hit rock bottom before they get delivered.
Yeah.
Amen. If you think you still got it going on, God is not coming to your rescue. You got the degree. You got the credentials. But you got people who won't make the decision to give you the job for you. God has you right where he wants you. He is stripping you of yourself. Because you still think you it's all about you. Because God holds the hand up the human resources office. He has the power of the human resources. God will take a supervisor or manager of human resources and bring him on your side, and you know how he got on your side. God, when you don't qualify for the loan, Deacon Frodo, God will get the banker to approve the loan.
Yes, it will.
He can make the banker approve. When your enemy says that this is the last quarter, God will give you two more minutes on the clock, and somebody here knows that God needs to, all he needs is 2 minutes.
Yeah.
In the last quarter of the game, and he'll get you across the finish, the touchdown line, in the last 2 or 1 minute of the fourth quarter.
Yes, it will.
Because that's just the kind of God is. Because God don't want you taking credit for nothing.
That's right.
He will put you in circumstances and situations that you know, if it, but God, only God could have done it.
But God.
Oh, I'm trying to tell y'all about an Old Testament miracle and New Testament prophecy. You think you were so smart? God, you're not smart. God just loosed some stuff and then put some stuff in other people's way to maneuver you around, so you ought to thank God for hooking you up.
Right.
Yeah. There's absolutely nothing you could have did to right where you are in this life right now today. There's nothing. God's grace is grace is God's giving you stuff, giving us stuff we don't need. We don't deserve. We need it, but we don't deserve it.
Yeah.
This is significant. God gives him, Israel, let him know. I know I took 400 years to bring you out. Why are you here talking about, oh, Moses, did you bring me out? So weren't there enough graves in Egypt, Moses? You brought us here to die, Moses? Moses, as a leader, is faced with a predicament. Because he is the deliverer, the redeemer of Israel. Watch this now.
Yeah.
He is talking to God as an intermediary for Israel.
Right.
I want you to know, y'all want to know something else? Think about this. Moses, Rebbe, is at the Red Sea. He too did not know what God's plan was to get them past the Red Sea. He could not falter in front of the people. He couldn't show a lack of confidence in God. He had to stand on the word of God that he had given and said, tell Pharaoh, let my people go.
Yes.
So now he said, God, what am I going to do? God said, hey, Pharaoh, God said, look in your hand.
Yeah.
You got it in your hand. He said, pick that rod up off the ground. Pick that rod up off the ground.
Yes.
And stretch it out over the ocean.
Yeah.
What am I saying to you? God said, people of God, don't stress. You might not see it or think of it, but you got what you need right in your hand.
Amen.
He said, I'm not leave you unequipped to handle whatever you got to go through. He stretched the rod out, and the sea opened up.
Yeah.
I want you to understand that's not all the miracle. They didn't go over on wet, soggy sand. The scripture says they went over on dry ground. Y'all, check it out. God is all in this. God said, I have a miracle and a miracle and a miracle for you. So you get to the other side. Now God said, look, watch. You're going to see them no more. His horsemen, his chariot, his army. You will see them no more. He said, Moses, the same thing you use to create the miracle, raise your hand again and shut the miracle in their face. He did it, and the walls became weak again. No, became strong again. They became weak when the hand of God pushed them away. But now they become strong again, and now they're closing in. Pharaoh's army tried to turn around and run away from him, but the sea was closing in on them. And they were dead bodies all over the seashore. An Old Testament miracle with a New Testament prophecy. God said that, I'm your kinsman redeemer. He said, I've called you out of darkness into the marvelous light. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He said, don't put a doubt in me. Don't complain because things get tough. Things gonna get tough sometime. He said, but just hold on to my unchanging hand. Stand firm, stand strong on what I've called you for. He said, I said, I'm not a man that I should lie. Yeah. If I speak it, I will perform it. The Bible says, stand to your feet. The Bible says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word will never pass away. That's why we extend the invitation to discipleship. Maybe there's someone who do not know the Lord as their personal Savior. Under the sound of my voice. The Bible says, now is the accepted time, now is the day of salvation. My voice, hear the word of God that you just heard. Harden not your heart, come to me. He said, tomorrow may be too late. Now is the accepted time. Maybe you know the Lord as your personal Savior, and you have not done what God has asked you to do. You've been being disobedient. God told me to tell you. Like stones fitted and joined together. Y'all hear me? We need each other. Iron sharpens iron. We ask you, if you don't have a church home, we ask you that you come and join us at New Jerusalem. This is the place. This is the place where the word of God is powerful and our worship is passionate. So come as you are. Amen. Is there one? Is there anyone?
few Sundays,
yeah.
And I know that you expressed your desire to be a part of this body.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. As pastor of this church, I greatly accept you as members of New Jerusalem Missionary Baptist Church. Amen. I know that you also have a calling on your life as deacons. And because we as deacons and ministers and pastors are lead servants, I'm going to accept you as members, but also I also would love to have you a part of that deacon board. But I asked you to do one thing for me, okay, because pastor was raised right. Just send whoever's the leader of your church, pastor, some church may not have a pastor, just send him a letter, let him know that I now found a church and I want to quit worship at that church. Okay? Just inform him. I'm not saying you're asking for permission, you just gonna send him inform him. As soon as you do that, you need to let pastor know. Because guess what? The first Sunday coming, so you gotta be active first Sunday, so send it off to you. Okay? Okay, I thank God for you.
Yeah.
All right, and I'm excited.
Amen.
I'm excited. I'm very excited. I had some conversations with you. First of all, you're men. It's good to see men of God coming to the Church of God. Okay? And then also qualified men, servants of God. Deacons are ministers of mercy. Amen?
Amen.
Just do that for me. And I want you to make sure, because I need the number. One of you guys have called me, and I didn't keep the number. Okay, so make sure you have your number so I can communicate what you're doing to me. So if you don't call me, I always check on you. I got Dean Furlow there, and Sister Furlow. I always call and check on them, okay? If you don't have to call Pastor, call and check on me. Okay. And I'm not gonna let you get on the site, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You wanna say anything?
It is a pleasure to be in the house of the Lord. Pastor, I do not have to send a letter. I resigned my chairmanship and membership about 3 months ago.
Okay,
and I've been searching for a church home.
Okay.
God led me here.
Okay.
Okay.
Amen. Amen. Then I accept you. I accept you as a member, and I accept you a part of the deacon board that we can work together, and we'll get together, Deacon Furlow and all of us, we begin together, amen?
Mm-hmm.
And we know where you come from, we know you, amen, just do what you know, we had that conversation, so let's make sure we do that, amen?
Amen.
And the same thing, I'll be saying the same thing to you, we're looking forward to it, and we just want to do God's work and God's work. This is a good ministry, these people are good people. Okay? There ain't no fighting, carrying going on. It's just a good people here. Okay? Amen. 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 So I welcome each and every one of you. We got leads. All the lead servants can come down and shake your hand. Actually, come on down, and then he'll go in and let Deacon Furlow stand. They can walk over to him. Just walk and shake Deacon Furlow's hand first as he welcomes you. Amen. For the Lord. Amen.
Right.
Amen. church, just continue to pray. Sister Furley, remember that prayer meeting you started about a month ago?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Jesus.
We have a prayer. We have a prayer talking about all kinds of things, leadership and things like that. And now, I need to talk to her about it, her and Deacon Furlow. We talked about it. And look at God. Amen.
Look at God.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank
Amen.
You.
Amen. Amen. Okay, if I hold my I'm ready, we're ready to go, right? Yeah. Amen. Let's let the Lord be dismissed. We're ready. Rule and abide with us both now and forevermore, and let the church say,
Amen.